Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist Podcast. My name is Tim Hall. I'm here with Dr. Bobby Conway. We are continuing on in our series of doctrine. So we've done the D, the O, the C, the T, and now we are on to the R, the return of Christ physically.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions,
to give a defense.
Well, we're so glad that you continued to join us in this series that we've been doing. And the return of Christ physically is the R in our doctrine. And so I wanted to kind of start by just asking, what is the importance of this idea, this part of the doctrine that Christ is going to return physically? Why is that important? Why should we even care, study, think about any of that?
Well, we get at the authenticity, Tim, of the words of Christ. We get at the authenticity in the book of Acts, for example, in the same way that you've seen him come up, he will come back again. And so if we're not consistent with accepting what all the biblical data says, then we will pick and choose. And so, you know, he told us he's coming again. They were looking for his coming. We are to look for his coming. Like a thief in the night, he shall come. I feel like if we remove this important doctrine of looking for his coming, when so many of the parables and, you know, we read in the scriptures about this, we will put ourselves in a position where we're going to doubt other things, potentially. Like, okay, if I'm going to doubt this and I'm not, because I just don't like that, I'm not going to believe in that, then why are we going to hold to another doctrine in the Bible? So we might not understand his return, but in the same way that under the old covenant, they longed and waited for the Messiah to come and believed he would come, and he did, we too have the Messiah who did come saying, I'm coming again, and we want that to give us hope in the same way the people under the old covenant believed and hoped and didn't dismiss the idea of his first coming.
Right.
And so, yes, it confused and threw a curveball because I don't think they were looking at it from the idea that there's going to be these two comings. And they had to put that together a little bit. And God can certainly throw us some curveballs, as we saw. They didn't expect a humble king. But that's one thing I'd say, Tim. We want to be consistently embracing all of Scripture, not just the portions that we think we can grasp or understand.
Right, so it's extremely key for consistency in looking at the scriptures. So there was a live event that you and I did back in March of 2019. So depending on when you're listening to this, you can head back in the time frame where we did a live Q&A for our team members. And if you're a team member, you can go back and check that out. And we had lots of dialogue on this. We kind of went back through and talked about some of the different views of the end times and Jesus's returning. So we don't necessarily need to go back and rehash all of those different pieces. But you had reminded me of a story that you kind of got, you know, fairly far maybe in your Christian walk. And finally realized something about Christ's return. So why don't you tell us some of that story? Because I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, well, what happened to me is there was this series that came out, or not a series, there's a Left Behind series that informed a lot of people, but it was sort of this, you know, pre-trib rapture view video. And I don't even remember I think it was called like Thief in the Night or something. Okay. It was real old school. And here, you know, I've been saved for about a year and a half, 2 years. And I watched this movie, someone plugs this thing in, and I was so confused because it was about the rapture and Jesus coming like a thief in the night, and it scared the heck out of me, right? And also, I didn't even know what to do with it. It was very bizarre. And I think when we talk about he's coming again, like I can imagine we just sound kind of bizarre to people, you know, when we talk like that, though we have our hope in his second coming, that threw me. And even at this stage, I don't know where I stand, Tim, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, all that stuff. Eschatology is one of these doctrines that sometimes the more I get into it, the more I'm content just trusting that Christ is coming again. I like to kind of look at and understand some of the different approaches. and see some of the different thought models and be able to embrace my brothers and sisters wherever they are. But I don't want to go around and browbeat people into something here, except saying, let's align on the fact that he's coming again. But I know this. I believed in Jesus. He was my Lord and Savior. I just hadn't been given that piece of a doctrine yet. And so when we talk about this idea of doctrine, when we're walking people through this mnemonic device to help them to learn some of the core doctrines that people believe in, we want to separate from one salvation experience and getting saved and then realize the doctrine is for their discipleship. We get saved through trusting in something that we don't even really understand.
Right.
And discipleship helps us to get indoctrinated where we learn about some things. But I think one good way, a healthy way of doing doctrine is to not just try to indoctrinate somebody on pre-trib, but rather to help people to understand that Christ is coming again. And here's how some people have tried to put the biblical data together.
Yeah, that's really good. One of the things that I think, just kind of reflecting on what you just said there, we did a podcast, I remember early, about kind of how we should read scripture. And I'm reminded of when we can say things like, this is a really important piece. The return of Christ physically is a really important piece to what we believe. There may be some questions that come up from friends when we're doing evangelism. That's one of the reasons that we need to understand some of these different pieces. But in that podcast, you gave us some different criteria, some different principles that we can use to kind of read scripture. So I would almost point people back to that as they're thinking about some of these kind of maybe questionable, these things that aren't really solidified for us, but we know that Christ will return physically. But when it comes to the pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, a-trib, all those different things, we can go back and look at that way that we can study scripture. And I would just challenge people to go and kind of do some research and really dive
in. That's good.
Because it's a really important piece to just understanding the scripture and doing it in a way that is God-honoring, that takes the objective meaning out and that we can apply it to our lives, even though we may not be able to say, and this is the exact answer on this particular subject.
Yeah. I know I read once, Tim, about an earthquake that took place, and the boy was told, you know, by his father that, you know, I will always come for you. No matter what, I'll always come for you. And this earthquake just leveled this city. And I believe the boy's name was Armin, if I remember correctly. And the father was digging through rubble, you know, and I think this went on for several days. And he was crying out, and eventually, you know, crying out for his son, if it's Armin. And, you know, the son heard his dad, you know, dad. And the father, you know, embraces the boy. And what does the son say? I knew you would come. You always told me you'd come for me if I needed you. And so it turned out that there would be this earthquake where Armin would need his dad. And he trusted while he was underneath all the debris and couldn't see his way out, and it didn't make sense under there,
right. That
somehow or another, his dad will get to him. And I think, you know, on a bigger picture way, if a little boy can believe under the rubble that dad will find him, how much more should we as the body of Christ believe that if he said he's coming to get us, that even though we can't understand all the details under the rubble, we just look through the little crack of light that we do have and we await the day that he will come and restore us to himself.
What a powerful and intense word picture that was. I hope that impacted you, the listener, as it impacted me. Any other final thoughts or closing? That was a really great story. I don't know if we can go anywhere else from there.
Well, I appreciate it, Tim. I think that should, you know, just get people a little bit of a sampling. I think another thing is just to put another plug in for William Lane Craig, as we've done before. His Defenders class is great for people to really go in and think about theology and doctrine and be exposed to the different viewpoints. And that's one of the things I appreciate about Dr. Craig in his Defenders class. And if people go to reasonablefaith.org, they can learn about the Defenders class and they can listen to him teaching doctrine and all the systematic theology, but he's very reasonable in the way that he does it. He lays out the different viewpoints. And what I love about him that I don't always see with other theologians is he's a philosopher, and he brings that philosophical mindset, and it really just helps enrichen, you know, philosophy is considered the handmaiden to theology.
Right, yeah.
And man, he knows how to use that. And I think our listeners would find a lot out of it. It's a Sunday school class that he teaches at his church in Georgia, and they can just check that out and get more.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. All right, that about does it for our podcast today. We hope you enjoy this episode, and join us again next time where we look at the I and our mnemonic device doctrine.